Amen. Is that your desire tonight? We want to see Him, don't we? Praise the Lord. And we do get to see Him. Every time we come here, we see Him unfold His Word to us. Such a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in church? Well, welcome to wintertime. We're glad to have you tonight. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord, and glad you're here with us tonight. I believe we're going to have a great time. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. You just to stand with me tonight. We've just got a very few prayer requests. Jamie Brannon is going to have an operation. He's asking that we would remember him in prayer. Also got a lot of things going on in his life. He just needs the Lord to lead him and guide him. So let's remember that tonight. I want to pray for Brother Junior Davis as he continues to need prayer for his body. We'll just commit Brother Junior to the Lord. Ask God to be with our brother. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker. She's having several problems with her legs. Also, Brother Baker has a special unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Barry English sends this in to please pray for my father and the surgeon. He is in surgery on this coming Monday. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Joel Brown, would you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things into the Lord. I'm glad we're serving a prayer-answering God, aren't you? Aren't you glad to have Jesus in your life tonight? Praise the Lord. Brother Joel, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our hearts and heads. Father, as I was standing there in the pew, my mind, my heart just went to the reality of our looking to the unseen. We realize and know that you move by means that are way beyond our understanding. They're incomprehensible. And I know that greater men than I have stood behind this very sacred desk and have prayed unto you. But Lord, we come tonight as an assembled group of people with needs that are surmountable, Father. They seem impossible. And no doubt there are people standing here tonight with things upon their heart that they don't even know how they're going to make it through or overcome. But Lord, unless you move, they'll be discouraged, they'll die, whatever the circumstances or situation may be. So we're bringing these petitions to you, O God, with a grateful heart, with an expectant heart. And what better place to be than be assembled in your house where you've called us to be. And we know that there is nothing within ourselves as mortal beings that would allow us or cause us to be here. There's something more than that, O God. There's something more. We know we rally around the cloud. We rally around all these mysterious things. But Father, the reality is these things that we see with our physical eyes will eventually fade away. The cloud will dissipate, if that were the case, if we want to hold on to that so much. Lord, and we're following a prophet of God. We're following a man of God that we call our pastor. But as time goes on, these things will fade away. So unless we get a hold of you, Father, we're lost. So tonight, may something strike our hearts, may something strike our minds, may something strike our very lives that will change us, O God. And Lord, as we come expecting you to move, we come expecting to hear from you, we lay our lives open before you tonight. And I pray that you take that man of God and that you will use him as he sits upon that potter's wheel. May you take him. Lord, he studied today and he set himself aside to prepare for this service. But Lord, I have needs. The sisters have needs. The other brothers have needs. The young people have needs. And Lord, as we call out to you, may the unseen force, the unseen power that we're looking to, we're not looking to a physical man. We're not looking to hear this physical words from a man. We're looking and expecting to hear from you. These requests of prayer, we're expecting to see that you move on the scene, O God. May you take the thoughts of the day, the circumstances of the day, the week, the things that have passed, set them aside, O God, and we lay them before you. And Lord, here we are, open before you. And may we sit on that wheel and just spin and spin and spin. Ever how you want us to be, we're malleable, Father, before you. We want to be molded into the image of this very word. Nothing else, God. So may you take the man of God as he stands here tonight, Lord, and meet every need. Answer every question, dear God. Take Brother Louis. Take the brothers that's on the instruments, oh God. Take these hands of clay as we clap. Lord, may we lift our voices unto you and bring you on the very scene that we're expecting it, oh God. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. Forgive us of all of our sins, oh God. You are welcome in this place, oh Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're welcome here. We commit it to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, pray it'll be a blessing to them. Isn't it such a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you're a believer? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm a believer. Amen. Let's sing it tonight. That sounds like home to me. Praise the Lord. Sing it with all your heart.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy. Yeah. They say there's mansions there inside.
Oh,
the city.
Thank you, Lord.
A crystal river flowing
by the tree.
Himself will be the light.
Oh, that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears ever fill my eyes again.
The hills will echo with the storm. Grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Oh, they say there's mansions there.
I believe it too, don't you?
The city.
Praise the Lord.
A crystal river flows.
Let's sing just a little bit of this song tonight. Been a while since we sang it, but I'm looking forward to Beulah Land. How about you? This world don't hold anything that I can't leave behind. I could leave tonight and not have to worry about nothing I'm leaving behind. Are you ready to go? Are you really ready to go? Are you wanting to go? Give Jesus one big hand clap of praise. You love him tonight with all your heart. Singer, buddy.
I'm kind
of let's sing this song together tonight, church.
Sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad. And I'm one man.
Well, you're just singing so good, you're going to have to sing one more. Been a long time since you sung three. Can you stand with me to sing one more? Let's sing about that meeting in the air. We're fixing to have a time. You know what? How many of you looking forward to it? Praise the Lord. We're fixing to have a time. That meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I'm going to meet you over there in that hole beyond the sky. So see, you will hear, never hurt by mortal ear. Be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own Son will be.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. We're going to sing this little chorus. We'll change the order of the service tonight. Brother Donnie is going to come bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you look excited about hearing the message tonight? We look forward to hearing the word of the Lord, don't we? And you know what? It's our responsibility to create a real good atmosphere for the minister to come out. When he comes out and there's a good presence and a good atmosphere, I believe it's pleasing to the Lord. We want to work hard to do that. We want to work diligently to do that. Halfway ain't good enough. Two-thirds ain't good enough. We've got to give our all. If there's ever a time that you and I need to mesh together and pull together and be of the same mind, it's right now. It's right now. We are believers. Aren't you glad you are a believer? It means something to say you are a believer. Are you a believer tonight? Let's sing this just before Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Let it rain. Let it rain on your soul tonight. Let it rain on your dry, barren ground. If there is one in your life, if there's a spot you need some refreshment from the Lord, He's got something for you tonight. Do you believe that? Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Well, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Why don't you lift your hands? Let's invite Him to rain on us tonight.
Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 9, if you would, tonight. Mark chapter 9. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Wow. Y'all are really quiet. How many believes Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And his power is just as real as it was 2,000 years ago. I'm going to speak to you tonight on evil spirits in flesh. Evil spirits in flesh. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord Jesus, as we read from the pages of your blessed word, we are so thankful that the contents of your Bible has not only blessings and healings and miracles, but it has a display of our enemy, his traits, his characteristics, to help us as your children to be able to know him better. We know that we are truly engaged in a great warfare. We believe by your grace we will win this war. Father, I pray the Spirit of God would help us tonight. We know Satan absolutely hates to be uncovered. And we know he gets nervous when he gets uncovered, and he actually gets scared. But I pray that you would help us, that we could be enlightened by your word tonight. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read on in verse 21. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I want you to notice this verse 22, the attribute of this demon. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now this demon that had lived inside of this boy, this young man, it was a dumb spirit. But yet the way that it manifested itself, it was more like an epilepsy. Or more like a spirit which caused convulsions and would throw him into fits. But yet the identity of the spirit was a dumb spirit. Now think that in the world of demons, that a person could have a certain kind of devil, and we might think they would act this way, this way, this way, and this way, but in reality, they might act totally different than what you're thinking. Now, today, of course, there are still people that have these manifestations. But Satan has found that certain manifestations become a better disguise for demons in certain time frames. Now, there are more, no doubt, more people today that are demon possessed than there's ever been before. But probably there are fewer of these instances than there were even in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even early 70s. Now, why would that be? Well, you look at in the days of the Lord Jesus that whenever he was here, there was more demonic response in a verbal, physical way than written in the entirety of the Old Testament. More in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than what you'll see in the entire recordings of the Old Testament, or in the book of the Maccabees, or any of the historical books that you want to read. So it's like Satan chooses certain times to allow these demons to physically manifest themselves, and other times they go undercover. Now, when they're undercover, they're actually more deceitful, more destructive than they are when they're like this. But their motives, their objectives, and their purpose are still the same, and that is to destroy people. Now, whenever they come in a physical way, like this, as we'll look at tonight and tomorrow, Lord willing, is that they will endow many times the people that they live in with a superhuman strength. Sometimes it can be a superhuman argumentative ability to reason. Sometimes it can be a superhuman ability to talk about things and look at things, even invent things that humans really should not have the understanding to do. Now, I know you're listening, you're very attentive, and that's quite all right. But let me ask you, do you think that Almighty God would have ever let man by science broke into the laboratory to be able to split an atom, to be able to make an atomic bomb that would annihilate human beings and cause their eyeballs to devour in their flesh, and their flesh roll off of their bodies? Would God have ever allowed man to broke into such an understanding? By no means. Would God have ever allowed man to break into the realm of chemistry, into the realm of compounds, even into the realm of metallurgical studies, and to know of mixing this with this, with this, with this, would cause annihilation and destruction? Would God have ever endued man with such understanding? Not my father. Don't blame my daddy for doing such a thing. Well, then, if that is beyond man's capability, and man would break into an understanding of chemistry, an understanding of compounds, an understanding of metallurgical studies of involving medicals and medical research, and breaking into a realm of cells and dividing of cells and mixing this plus this plus this, would carry such a catastrophic destruction. You mean Almighty God, which is the bringer of peace and health and life, would allow people to break into such a thing? God would allow men and give man such an understanding through the years to be able to enlighten them and illuminate them on the understanding of metals, to where that they could make a more powerful cannon and a more powerful weapons of mass destruction? God would allow that? Absolutely not. Well, who was it then that understood the metallurgical studies and understood the breaking of cells and understood the splitting of an atom? If it was God and the angels who understood it, and God never gave this to man to use it as means of destruction, then who was it that broke man into that understanding? I think you know that answer. Satan and his demons. One day you're going to find out the increase of cancer in this century, in this age that you and I live in. It's because of all the intake of all the metals, the intake of the chemistry, the intake of all the things that you and I have eaten in processed foods, all the chemicals that are inducing in our lives daily, on a daily basis. Don't blame my daddy for that. It's man, it's science, it's all the evils that are around us. But yet Satan was the one who had the ability, and God allowed him to understand much about the chemical makeup of the earth, and much about, in God's laboratory, if we can set that way, of chemistry and breaking of atoms and all of that. And man, because this is man's day, and man leans more toward the understanding and more toward the microscope than he does faith, he leans more toward the dividing of cells than he does of understanding the new birth.
earth. So then if man wants to understand all of that, then Satan will break it open to him and allow him to go beyond what is really good for him. You understand? God no doubt would have allowed man to break into that which was beneficial and that which was good. I don't believe God would have ever allowed man, God himself, opened up and peered deep enough into God's laboratory to find these weapons of mass destruction. I don't think God would have ever allowed that at all. But man, because he wants to lean to his own understanding, and this is man's day, so he wants to be proud. He wants to be arrogant in what he can do and what he can say and what he can prove, so he leans to his own understanding instead of faith. So because of that, then Satan, because he has access into much of the laboratory of God, and man wants to know more, and he wants to figure out more, and he wants to do more, then Satan just peered beyond what was good for man to know. He opened up, as it was, Pandora's box and said, come and see. Look. God would have been illuminated. We know Adam and Eve with all that they needed to understand. But because she was so curious and because she leaned to understanding instead of faith, Satan opened up to her something she should have never known. You understand where I'm going? She should have never been introduced to what she found out by the devil. If God would have wanted Adam and Eve to understand all that there was about the question of life and so on, it would have never led to sin. But when Satan leads into realms where we have no reason being there and it's not for our own good, it will always lead us to sin. God, when God leads us deeper and God leads us into realms, it never leads to worldliness. It never leads to hatred. It never leads to arrogance and pride. Come on, children. If God is leading you, look at the attributes of what you say. Well, God showed me this and God showed me that and God showed me that. Look at the attributes of what that had in your life. That'll tell you whether it's God or the devil that led you where you are. Now think then that whenever a man desiring to understand all of this and these demons, now I want you to think in your mind that in this day of great scientific research and great education, and we know how it is, everything is education, education, education. I'm not promoting illiteracy or stupidity. I'm not promoting any of that. If you can have a great education and still maintain your faith, God bless you. But don't let your education override your faith. It is going to be one of the greatest miracles in this day for our young people, because the economy, the way it's set up, business the way it's set up, it ain't good enough anymore to have a GED. You're not going to go anywhere if you just got a pretty much a high school education. But Satan, being the god of this age, is going to push you. You've got to have this degree and that degree and that degree and that degree and that degree. And all of that is well and good, unless it goes to compromising your faith. Because with education, you'll have to prove this and prove that and prove that. And yet from your soul, you can't prove God. You can't prove healing. You can't prove love. You can't prove mercy. You can't prove forgiveness. Come on, children. And if you're not careful, you're getting more and more and more and more up here. And the more you get up here, it'll battle what's down in here. And then this will start questioning this. Well, how do you know there's a God? How do you know this? How can you prove that? How can you prove that? It'll be a constant battle for those who are educated among us in order to keep faith right. But if you're ordained of God, you'll do it. Because there's something in your soul that'll help you in the middle of Satan's Eden to keep you from leaning so much to the intellectual side. To me, that's why the law of the falling away is going on right now. Look at the ones who's leading it. It's great intellectual leaders. It's not little old country people that's way back in the sticks somewhere that just believes God. It's intellectual people. People that's got to prove everything. People that's got to read it. They got to put it under the microscope, under the laboratory. I won't fit under a microscope. I'm a miracle. Some of you wouldn't fit under a microscope. You're way too big. And you're a miracle. So how am I going to know? Well, I'll look at the evidence and see and know what I was and see what I am right now. I'm a walking, talking miracle by God's grace. But you see, demons understand what will go over in one age and what will go over in another. Now, if we would be able to, by God's insight, look into much of the rulers or the leaders of the world, and we would look inside of the many of the presidents of the nations around the world, even if we would have the ability to look inside the senators, the congressmen, the mayors, the sheriffs of our own nation, no doubt we would see that many of these people, and a lot of them, are demon possessed. But yet they would not, for the most part, they would never act like this boy did right here. They would never do it, because if they did, people would be scared to death of them. I wonder how many pastors in the Tri-Cities area are demon possessed, as full of the devil as they can be. Yet they'll never foam, they'll never wallow. They'll, you know, the truth of it is, I'll probably foam more than they will because I spit so much. So I'll probably do more foaming than they'll ever do. So they'll act more pious, more religious. They got much better pulpit manners than I do. They got better homiletics and all the rest of them, ludics and letics. I don't even know really sure what they are, but they are much more well behaved. They're not going to offend nobody, hurt nobody's feelings. But yet, you know what? Many of them from their soul, if we'd be able to see in their soul, they are just as demon possessed as this man is, because a demon in them is leading them to hell by deceiving them in their mind. So he's trying to destroy not only their body, but destroying their soul. And then set hundreds and hundreds of people under them in their church, that by their influence, they will be able to destroy them as well. But yet, if any of these pastors would ever get up and foam around, waddle around the pulpit, and do this every time they get up to preach, well, you know what happened to him. They boot him out of there. But yet, that demon understands in this age, this type of display does not go over very good. Now, let's just see it some. But this is not to any sign, by any means, that there's not demon possession that is going on. As I said, I believe the world is rampant with it now, and there's more people. In the days of Legion, you know, whenever one man had 2,000 devils, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, certainly not today, but there's more people in this day than there would have been in that day. So you look around and see that maybe one demon here, one there, two here, three there, four there, five there, seven there, how many ever there? There's plenty enough devils to go around. And I don't mind telling you, they can have all the ones we don't want, right? I don't want any devils myself. So anybody that don't want to believe God, you can have all of mine. All that want to live in me, whoever wants them, you can have them all. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have healing and deliverance and peace and power. I don't want none of the rest of them things. Now what? So oftentimes it has cast them into the fire and into the waters. Now whenever this thing would move on in, which would be in the form of a fit, what we would call a fit today, maybe they call it a similar thing. Whenever it would move on him, it was always in a place, or it seems as though, with the way that the man described it, that it was a place by which it seemed that the spirit would be able to destroy this young man's life. So whenever he would be in or near or around fire, in or near or around water, in or near around circumstances that would be very difficult, or seem as if though it would be to the advantage of this demon, then all of a sudden a fit would come on this young man. Now, it was totally uncontrollable because the man was actually demon-possessed. It did not mean that the man stayed in a constant fit. Most people don't. But yet, it was that it would come and go. Now, you know, I don't know how demons think, so I don't know exactly what the thinking is in the way that they do this on the amount of reoccurrence, the way it comes. Some may come there, and it may reoccur every 3 months, every week, every 6 months, every 3 or 4 years. I don't know, but it could be varied, of course. But you imagine that whenever it would hit upon this young man, now it cast him into the fire. So this demon would have such possession of this man's body that it would override what was born in him, the God-given ability of self-preservation. God's given that to every mortal that's in the right mind, of self-preservation. So if we have that ability about us, that if we're cold and we want to get close to a fire, it's a built-in automatic mechanism in us that we have the sense of heat and understanding that you can't just stick your hands in the fire because you'll burn the skin off. So this self-preservation mode was overridden by this demon, which would now try to cause this boy to go right into the fire in order to destroy him. Now, this demon had such possession of him that it would be able to take over his mouth, take over his ears, take over his vocal cords, take over even the ability inside of his body to cause him to foam and to be able to wallow. So it was such a possession that it had over, you know, his entire being. So it must have been something in his spirit, something in his senses, something inside, something actually in the mechanism of his body, running in on his brain, also running in on his spirit in order for him to respond. Everybody with me so far? Now watch. So it cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. Ultimately, this is what this demon wanted to do. Now, the devils today that many people have, and they are possessed with, they desire to destroy them as well. But because it is not many visible manifestations as wallowing, foaming, spitting in somebody's face, that sort of thing, it is more secretive. It's more deceitful. Then it will get in people. And every now and then, if you're spiritual, you'll be able to hear it talk out of them. Though it may not necessarily change its tone of voice, because that is a dead giveaway for it. But what it may do is actually raise their voice in a pitch of anger. Or it may actually move into their voice and change the tenor of their voice, and they will move, depending on what demon that they have, they will move either in the realm of religion, or if they're anti-God, they may move away from it, and they may get boisterous and real loud and curse God and all that sort of thing. But if it's a religious devil, which is 7 times worse than any other devil, then if they're possessed with a religious demon, they will talk about God. They may even talk about the message of the hour. They may talk about scripture. They may shout, cry, run, do all kinds of religious things. Yet in their soul is this demon which actually possesses them. Now, you know, I don't understand why it is that demons want to be religious. I know that it is their nature for them, where they come created by God, and they come from that, and many of them are definitely needed to be religious in the day that we're living in. But because they would come and hide themselves in behind a religious disguise, these are the ones that are the most difficult to be able to identify. They may have a Bible stuck under their arm, or a message book. They may have an Eagle Belt buckle, or a Malachi 4 license plate, or whatever it is. And yet be just as religious as they can be, and my, full of the devil. Just absolutely full of the devil. Now, there's a great difference in a person having a spirit on them and a person being actually demon possessed. All of us can get spirits on us. Oh, Brother Donnie, I got the Holy Ghost. All of us can get spirits on us. You know, when you get to feeling sorry for yourself, you got a spirit on you. When you feel like I don't like you and I don't want you at the church, you got a spirit on you. And that spirit's lying to you. Come on now. Well, I'm not needed. Nobody likes me. Just go ahead and tell the truth. You've got a spirit on you, but that don't mean you're possessed of the devil. Now, I'll show you got a spirit on you, because I could stand right in front of you to your face and tell you, brother, that is a lie. I love you and I want you at this church, but it shows a spirit on you because you'll believe that spirit over me and I'm supposed to be your pastor. Now, the Holy Ghost in you wouldn't lie to you because the Holy Ghost knows I love you. Well, somebody I wish would say amen or ouch or oh me or... Now, there is a great difference, though, than a person getting under the influence of a spirit and being demon-possessed. Because all of us can move into that realm because of the 3 realms above us, 3 realms that are below us, and we're in the realm of mortal stream of time, so we're still affected by that world. But that does not by any means mean that your spirit is possessed, your soul is possessed, and that your body is possessed, where it actually takes you over. Now, whenever demons then will come in, I can't say that I understand exactly why they choose certain people. They would afflict certain ones. Some even from whenever they're babies. Some when they're young children. Some as they would be young men or young women. Well, there's an element of spiritual vulnerability there to some people. Whether there's a projection, the supernatural realm, that they're able to see a certain weakness toward a certain thing. And then this thing gets on them. Who knows exactly the way they move. I don't know exactly the way they think. I don't know exactly why they do what they do. But I do know exactly how to cast them out. By the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. That's one thing I know. I figure God wanted to teach me what's most important to me. I've never been to demon school. I really don't plan on going there. I don't know how they think. I don't know what they all talk about. I don't know anything about that. I know the army of God puts devils on the children of God, and I'm called to take them off. Ain't that right, brothers? Now watch. So this man, what's Jesus? As Jesus now... His disciples have first been approached by this man for deliverance, and they could not help the man in order to deliver the son. So then the man comes to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Now, then Jesus begins to inquire to the Father. How long ago? And you know, Jesus knew all these answers. Oh, but he asked the man. He's making a conversation now with the man. He asked the father, how long ago since he came? And he said, it was how? Oftentimes it cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do it, then maybe this whole thing, this whole conversation is for this point right here. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us, because there's still an element that's missing in this man's connection. Now the man has an element of faith, but he's not been able to divinely contact the place that he needed to contact in order to bring the boy's complete deliverance yet. No doubt the Lord Jesus has a reason and asking him how long it was and all this. What's he doing? Now the man is fixing to tell him where he needs some help himself. You listen. Now what? So he describes, you know, the situation of the boy. And he said, but if you can do anything, now still in the form of a question, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now what's the Lord Jesus' way he turns it around? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. The question is not if I can do anything. The question is not do I have authority? Do I have power? The question is if you can believe. Now watch. No doubt the Lord Jesus leading the man up to this spot because the man believes. He has to have an element of faith or he would not be to the Lord Jesus. This is the second time he'd come to the apostles. Now he'd come to Jesus himself. But there's still an element that he's not broke into that supernatural realm in order to produce the right amount of faith to be able to produce the miracle. Now watch. So Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Is there anybody in Happy Valley that still believes the scriptures are truth? Praise God. God bless your heart. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He's broke through. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I do believe, Lord, but I've got to say there's an element about me. Was it fear? Who knows exactly what it was? At least the man was honest enough to identify it and say, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I wish we could get to that spot where we could be sincere with God and say, I believe this message. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. I believe all of this, but I must have an element of unbelief or fear or something there. Why, when I pray that God will not move. Oh my, I believe if we could get that thing identified and recognized and ask for help, we'd see more among us than we've ever seen in our lives. But if we say, I'd never say such a thing. I'd never. Why? Why would you want to let that thing hide? Let's be able to just make right and say, Lord, if I've got any unbelief, get it out of me, Lord. If I've got fear, if I've got doubt, if I've got a question, if I've something there, Lord, that's not right, I confess, I believe you. I love you. But if there's anything that's hindering me, get it out of my life, Lord. Now watch. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. Now how peculiar. So it is a dumb and deaf spirit. So the boy cannot hear and he cannot speak. But yet the attributes of this spirit act like epilepsy. Throws him in the fire. He passes out, pines away. He passes out, goes into convulsions, wallows and foams. But it's actually a dumb spirit, dumb and deaf. Oh my. Now notice Mark calls this the foul spirit. Foul spirit. Saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more. I like that twofold command. Don't just get out, but get out and don't come back. Woo! Oh, glory to God. Don't just leave, but take your stuff, because you ain't coming back no more. I charge thee, come out of him. And enter no more into him. Now watch the response of this spirit. And the spirit cried. and rent him sore. So the demon makes this hideous noise at his ejection out of this house. Now he's mad. He's upset. So he's going to do what damage he can on his way out. So Jesus commands him, and the spirit cries out and makes a screaming noise. Growl, whatever it was. And then as he goes, the scripture says he rent him sore. So before it leaves him, it shakes the young man and tears him and throws him into these dreadful convulsions. Oh my. Now he's thrown out against his will. So he's mad. And he done heard this twofold command. He can't come back. So he's double mad. It ain't no wonder the devil's mad at us that's got the Holy Ghost. God done made him leave our soul, and there ain't no way back in. If you've got the seal of the living God on your soul, there ain't no way back in of no devils. Praise be to God. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. So the devil leaves him. And whenever it does, now you imagine this change now in his physiology that is going on inside this young man's body. This demon has been there for many years. So it would be like an evil spirit that would be holding the optical nerve of a person that was blind in one eye or blind in both. And all of a sudden a command or authoritative word speaks to that demon and he lets that optical nerve go and is commanded to leave that person's body. All of a sudden, the energy, which has been forbidden to flow correctly, is now released. And the optical nerve, the eyes are open and the rays of light are hitting into the iris and the eyes expanding. And all this is going on and the energy is running back and forth from the optical nerve to the brain. But the brain has never perceived sight, or maybe it's been hell for 15 or 20 years. And then whenever the blind would see, that's why when Jesus prays for the man, he looks out there and he says, I see men as trees. Why? His physiology of his brain, of his optical nerve, it's getting a healing process. He hadn't seen men forever. Oh my. Or maybe for years and years and years. And now the optical nerve is catching the illumination of light and is tracking the lens, going back into the brain, processing the brain. You know, goes into the eye backwards, comes down, turns around, hits the optical nerve, goes to the brain, feeds back out. And then a person sees it. Oh my. So here this demon tears as he goes out. And this physical thing is happening in this young man. Now his brain is released. The cause of the wallowing is released. The cause of the foaming is released. And his body is reverting back to normal. So he's laying there. He's dead. Oh, he wasn't dead. There's all kinds of things going on. Amen. Listen to this. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. Luke chapter 7 verse 21. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Now watch, this is just a bringing together as Luke, instead of defining all the different miracles. Can you imagine now in this one verse, there could have been hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands that was culminated in this one verse. So in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities, plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now what was going on in the realm of darkness? These demons, which had been seemingly silent for so many years under the Old Testament, now became vocal. They become into a time to where their manifestation, was it the threat? Was it their fear of exposure? Who knows? Luke chapter 8 verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Remember what those devils were, don't you? Remember Brother Bram calling their names? Pride? Pride was one of the 7 devils that Mary Magdalene had. Now watch, here come women who had been delivered by the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Let's read, if you would, in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So notice the association between evil spirits and sicknesses and disease and plagues. Now, demons then can actually cause and will cause personal injury to the one who has them. Or, of course, they can also cause injury to the one outside who doesn't have it. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't this amazing? Demons knew who he was, and preachers didn't. Oh my. Now watch. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Now watch these devils. They felt afraid. They were going to be exposed. And apparently when they come near such a gifted individual as the Lord Jesus, and the power of the flow through him, they were so afraid and affrighted that it caused them to cry out, as if though it would be a child in the darkest of night. Now watch them in verse 34 again, saying, "Let us alone. Let us alone." Now why didn't they say this to Habakkuk or Zephaniah or Zechariah or Malachi? I mean, these were great men, were they not? They loved God and they did great things for God. But there must have been something about him that just so pulsated in from the dimensions that our eyes cannot see, that they knew with him walking in, oh my, they just got really scared. And they got tore up, because the devil hates to be exposed. So they said, "Let us alone." Oh my, "let us alone. What have we to do with thee, mama? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us?" So they have a spiritual insight that Jesus Christ has the ability to destroy them. Too bad some of them preachers didn't take notes for some of them devils. "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Oh, children, this is the kind of Christians we want to be. Not that your wife alone says it, or your husband, or the people you go to church with. That's what I want my testimony to be down in hell. We know who you are. You're a Christian. You're a son of God. You're full of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst. Now watch again. You look at this physical manifestation. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now this one apparently is really tore up bad. He ain't going to leave much wreckage behind. He's just out of Dodge. I mean, he's getting out of here fast. So this must have been a little bit more puny devil, apparently, on the other side. Now, notice in verse 36, "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority," I love this word, exousia, "power, jurisdiction, the ability of strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises, the power of rule government. Rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Wow. For what a word is this? For with authority and dunamis. He ain't just God. He ain't just God excusia. He's loaded down with dynamite. Praise be to God. This is why I still make the ongoing challenge to you defectors who's now closer to God than you've ever been and reading your Bible more than ever before and know more about God than us poor old message followers. I still will make you to a challenge to prove what you're saying by works. Brother Tony, you better be careful. I'm very careful to obey what my daddy says. So with what authority and power, dunamis, strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Power residing. This is why devils can't cast out devils. This is why hypocrites, this is why a bunch of these folks that ain't got nothing but words won't accept the challenge out that thing no better. Because what they're believing and what they're promoting has no power of deliverance. I'm glad the message I preach has the power to cast out devils, heal the sick, change folks' lives. They were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. When he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now watch this demon. He manifests himself in a total different way than these others. Now this woman does not foam. She does not convulse. She does not go into passing out spells or pining away. But this one is a spirit of infirmity, not a spirit of disease. And infirmity, as you know, even in the New Testament, is under two different total Greek words and a disease. You didn't know that. Okay, well, you know it now. Now, remember, they're all broken down into categories of where they will be best suited for where they belong. These demons I'm talking about. And there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. So she was bowed over like maybe this or worse. Now it was not like epilepsy or dumb or deaf or she couldn't talk or hear, but this devil just had her bound over where she couldn't move. Now it had attacked her spine or her muscles or something in her upper torso of her body and afflicted something in her body to where she could not be released to stand up. Now it was a spirit of infirmity. Praise the Lord. A spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Now notice how Jesus approaches this spirit of infirmity, because she's not possessed now in her soul. So he does not, in the way that he does the other, speak to the demon and say, I command you to come out of them. But he speaks to the woman. Look how he speaks to her. And he says, woman, thou art loose. He doesn't even address it in the same way. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now let me share this with you. If Jesus ever lays his hands on you, he'll make you straight and you'll glorify God. So whatever problems you've got that's making you not straight, if you, Jesus ever gets in touch with you, you'll be straight. Glory! Oh, that's the lacking thing, though. We get the bishop to lay hands on us and the preachers to lay hands on us. But brother, we're bypassing Jesus. But if Jesus ever comes around where you are and Jesus can get a hold of you, he can say the same thing to you that he said to that woman. Girl, be loose from your infirmity. Young man, be loose from your infirmity. Old man, be loose from your infirmity. Oh my. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue. Now here we got a man with a different kind of devil on him. He's got a, quote the prophet, devil on him. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Now this man is fighting mad. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And what did Moses say against healing on the Sabbath day? He didn't. I said he didn't. They're not to work. They're not to build fires. They're not to walk over so many paces. They're things like that. But Moses never said one thing about healing on the Sabbath day. Now watch, right in the face of this miracle, look at this man's attitude. Answered with indignation because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which man ought to work. And then therefore come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you dear, sweet, beloved, kind, thou hypocrite. To me, that's what the man deserved. This is where I got my pulpit manners. Believe it or not, this is the guy who taught me how to preach. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite! Does not each of you on the Sabbath day lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, he not only loosed her, he identified her in the original seed. Oh, glory. Being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. Lo, these 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. Who bound her? Satan did. She was not wallowing. She was not foaming. But she just couldn't straighten up. Now, you imagine the Lord Jesus going on the defense mode. I don't imagine he was like a pantywaist preacher. Now, sir, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Could mean you come out here and let's just... I don't want... That's not a preacher. That's not a preacher. That's a nurse. Now this is going to hurt. And y'all ever get a shot or an IV and you go in and here comes the bee sting and you say, Lord, that felt like a hornet. This is going to hurt just a little bit. What they're doing, they're trying to calm you down. You know, that's the way preacher, oh, no, I don't want to hurt nobody. Oh, God hates sin, but I better not say what sin is. I'll just preach against sin. Sin, 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 sin. Oh, it's awful, it's awful, it's awful. What's awful? Sin, but I mean what? Sin, sin. So Jesus looked at him and said, you're a hypocrite, sir. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now before we go on with this man, I'd like to enlighten you a little bit about this fellow. This man, unlike some of the others that we've read about tonight,
did not get these devils when he was a child. He was not born with them either. Actually, this man, prophet dramatizes it for us and uses it as a little story, and I'd like to share it with you. That this man was a good man. Loved God. Went to church. Done things that was good and noble and right. But one day, he got in with the wrong crowd. And he got one spirit on him. Just one. Started smoking, drinking, doing something, started missing church. That's what Brother Brown says, started missing church. Well, then when he got that one spirit, then it made a way for another. And another. And another. And another. And now we find the man, by the time the Lord Jesus comes to him, he's got 2,000 demons living in his body. Now let's pick up on him here in the story that the prophet dramatized him and the maniac of Gadara. Seeing the poor old fellow legion out there, maybe once in a while, he'd come to himself and he'd just look and say, what am I doing here? What? Look, there's chains all around him and things like that in his body. Was all cut up. Then maybe the devil would draw him into a spell. And here he would go. And maybe he'd come to again and think, I got a wife and children somewhere. And remember when the devil started moving on this man and he started drinking and lying. And he started getting real violent with his wife and children. He'd beat him. Call them names. Treat them bad. They become terrified of this man. The prophet said the first thing you know, the devil pulled him into another spell. Here it go. So I could go into these mad, raging fits. And then these devils would have their way with him. And they'd back off. And he'd calm down. And there was enough sanity left in the man. And they had left enough self-preservation. And enough self-control in the man when their influence was not there that he could still reminisce about what he was. How he used to sit in Happy Valley and say, praise the Lord to the word. How he used to come down to the altar and pray and read his Bible and listen to tapes and sit there and weep and cry and thank God for a prophet and a message. Then he started listening to the wrong voices. Then he would go in and out. Now, can you imagine whenever this man was under the influence of these demons and he was so far away from his own thinking that he would have not more than likely been able to think about his wife or his children or how things was back in his village because this possession was so rampant, taking over everything about his being. But once they would achieve their goals, that they would hit him and he would just rant and rave and stomp and cuss and do whatever more and scare people to death that would come through there and they'd try to chain him. And you imagine them demons, because demons love to taunt. You know, they love to taunt. The very word devil means tormentor. So people would come through and maybe they'd send a bunch of soldiers and whatever more. They'd send them there and them demons would calm him down and be just as calm as it could be. And then all of a sudden they'd chain him up and they'd think, boy, we've got him now. And no sooner than they'd get him chained up, he'd start ripping and tearing, my, just going everywhere. Because his strength was superhuman. And he'd go in and out of these spells and you imagine the depression. Some of you think you have depression. You imagine the depression that this man would enter into as he would look around. He might not even remember what he's done. He might not even remember what has happened to him from these fits, spells, whenever they would come upon him. Notice Brother Ram said he was a murderer if he could get to the people. He didn't know what he was doing. The devil was doing it. Now here's this man that he'd come down out of that graveyard, the tombs. Look where the devil made him hang out. Around the graveyard. Oh, that's a good hangout for the devil around a dead place. That's why it is the way it is today. The same thing. He hangs around an old dead place. Somebody that's dead in sin and trespasses. Don't believe in the power of the resurrection of the Lord. That's a good hangout for the devils.
If you want to know truthfully, some of these old cold formal churches that has a form of godliness and that denies the power thereof, it is a real hangout for devils. That's right, a place where they say, oh, that's all workup, that's all mental, that's psychology. Oh my, some of those devils don't make you cut yourself, but they're just as shrewd and polished as they can be. Amen. They're scholars. Now you imagine that there are scholars standing in the pulpits across the world that are as demon-possessed as Legion was. But instead of foaming out the mouth, they've got poison out of theirs. Lord Jesus. This poor man was in such a shape. There's no way Jesus could have hurt him anyhow. Because Jesus was across the lake. But Jesus said, we've got to go across. Of course, it was this man's soul. Somehow there was an increment of time, a window just enough open to where this man's soul let out a cry into eternity. And you imagine the Lord Jesus as he begins to hear this cry. It was different from the children that was around him, different from Peter and James and John. It was a cry from another dimension. Help me. Help me. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus, we need to go to the other side. Why, Lord? We need to go to the other side. Why? Just for one. Just for one. So they head across the body of water. Now they disembark. Verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, Most High. Uh-oh. Now, which one is he? Son of God or Most High or both? Notice, Peter hadn't even said this yet. John hadn't said this yet. None of the apostles had even caught this yet. But this is a being who recognizes something about who just got off this boat. This man don't know the Lord Jesus. He's never met him. He knows absolutely nothing about him. So it is this legion of demons that recognizes who this is. He cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Verse 29 tells why. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Listen, the prophet said the maniac up in Gadara up there, just so mean till he was cutting himself with rocks. And they'd bind him with chains and he'd break them. Now that's the devil power. Did you ever fool around somebody that's a maniac? You ever seen somebody with double their power? It's a maniac because they're completely anointed with Satan. And that satanic power gives them twice their strength. Now if a person completely surrendered to the devil will give him twice his strength, what will a man completely surrender to God do? Oh, thank you, Lord. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion.
because many devils were entered unto him. And they besought him. Now, apparently this one has been the main spokesman. But now they're scared. They're crying for mercy. These are the black streaks that Brother Branham would see in the discernment. They would get scared. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Now watch. The word deep is abyssos, which is the bottomless pit. Boundless, enormous, the abyss. Why don't they want to go there? Remember, it's from there in the last days that the lid is tore off when the angel comes down with the key and they come flying out of there to torment people on the earth. Abaddon and Apollyon, who has this key access to this same word right here. The abyss. The bottomless pit. Now they recognize Jesus' authority. Why don't they call him a devil? Why don't they call him Beelzebub? They know better. Why don't they say to him, say we're not well there in a Samaritan and have a devil? They're asking for mercy right now. They ain't in a frame of mind to joke. They ain't in a frame of mind to cut up. Because this being right here standing before them has got power over them and they know it. If he wants to, he can assign them to the abyss and there'll be no more demonizing on the earth. There'll be no more carrying on the earth. Think of it. Oh, glory to God. Now watch. In this district, this area where this is happening, the majority of these people were Jews. Jews. A few Greeks, but mainly Jews. But there was something going on there that was contrary to what their message had taught. And that was they were forbidden to eat pigs. Now you sausage lovers, thank God for the new covenant now. Ham and shoulder and all that sort of thing. But these people were not allowed, according to the Mosaic law, to eat or raise hogs. But this, it was actually what was identified as a town herd. This is why it's so big. Now Mark says there was 2,000 pigs. So it was quite a large herd. So it was identified as a town herd. So these people had broken the law of God. Now watch what happens here. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. So here they don't want to go to the abyss, so they're praying for mercy. Mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Now the mercy that they ask for is not to be forgiven. It's to not be consigned or confined to the abyss as of yet. And they would rather go into these hogs than to go into the abyss. Now they've got enough sense about them in the realm of supernatural to know if Jesus confines them to the hogs and if the hogs run down the steep place and choke themselves, they will be released from the bodies of the hogs and to be able to go back into human beings. If he confines them to the abyss, they will never be able to do anything else but wait for judgment. Now why would Jesus allow a whole town's herd of hogs to be killed? Isn't this mean? I mean, this is their whole herd. This is the whole town herd. But that whole town had no business having herd of hogs. They're supposed to be following the word of God for that hour as far as what they knew up to that time. So the demons asked and Jesus said, go ahead. Now I want to show you a parallel, how dangerous it is when we don't keep the word of God. I wonder, for those who think holiness, who think right living, purity, so on and so on, is not important anymore. I wonder if demons ask
to be able to go into some of these defectors. I wonder if Father won't give them permission and say, go ahead. Because they knew better and they have walked away. They have turned down my truth. Take full possession. Go ahead and live in them. Lord, children, God have mercy on us. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. The prophet said at least they had enough sense to kill themselves. He said demons had more sense than some people. They wouldn't live. The devil's in them. Them hogs did rather. Now watch how the people reacted to this in verse 34. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And there is a reason that he said that. Wearing clothes and being in your right mind are first cousins. So being naked and out of your right mind is also first cousins. Woo! So here they come. You imagine them coming up and they say, what's a good Lord? What's that guy? He's like, man, I come by you one day. That guy was howling like a hound dog. He was a chomping and changing. Lord, him, look at him. He said, but something's happened to him. Look at him. He's as docile as a little lamb. He's as calm as he can be. He's got on breeches. Oh, he wouldn't have worn shorts. He knew better than that. The man's got clothes on and he's not just talking a bunch of nonsense. The man's clothed in his right mind. That's what happens when you meet Jesus firsthand. Lord have mercy. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about. Now listen. This is their chance to receive the word of God for that day. Besought him to depart from them. And they were taken with great fear and he went into the ship and returned back again. If you don't want Jesus in your house, he will leave. Listen to me, Happy Valley. If we get to a place we don't want Jesus here, he'll leave. If you don't want to follow Jesus in this message, he'll leave you. Jesus only stays where he's welcome. So they besought the Lord Jesus, leave, leave. Jesus said, fine. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus, God. Jesus didn't tell him to do one thing and he done another. He done what Jesus told him to do. He said, you go tell him what good things God done for you. He said, I'll go tell him what good things you done for me. Now let's follow him home. Maybe the supernatural effect had started to wear off of him. And reality began to hit him. Who will believe me? Most of these people know me. I've cursed at them. I've spit on them. I'm supposed to go back home. Jesus told me to go back home. My wife, my children. The last time I left, they was afraid of me. I'd beat her so bad her eye was all swollen and her jaw was all pushed out and blue. Brother Bram says, I can see him go down the street and some of them say, well, who's that old guy going there? He said, glory, hallelujah. They said,
That guy's still crazy. There he goes. Went on down the street. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, they said there's one thing about it. He's got some clothes on. Surely something has happened to him. I can see him go down there and here's the story. I see him look around and the landlord had done put his wife out. Poor little thing. She prayed all the time for him to be healed. Come back as little children. When they'd see him coming, they'd run and hide. His poor little wife would have to get out of the way because he's bad. He'd come in and he tore up the place. That's the way a drunkard does or a demon possessed. Run into one of those temper fits and kick everything around the house. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Belong to church, maybe even on the deacon board. Brother, I wish I had a bigger audience this afternoon. That's right. Y'all belong to the deacon board and act like that. Oh, he comes and slips down and the house is closed. Where's the wife? Goes and asks someone on the street and said, she had to move down there in the alley. I can see him go down there to a bunch of old tin cans. Pile up and look around the little old shack with some bushes laying it together. There she is in the backyard rubbing on a washboard. Maybe taking in the neighbor's washing. And the little children holler, Mommy! Mommy! There he comes! There he comes! And they start to run like that as hard as they can. I can hear him say, wait a minute, sweetheart. His wife said, oh, oh, oh. And he said, wait a minute, don't run. Something's happened. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad you can say something's happened to you? Something's happened. I can see him walk in. Look at that tattered sleeve of his wife's dress. Look at his poor little children standing there trembling. Put his arm around him and I can hear him. One little boy say to the next little girl, say, what's happened to daddy? Mother, mother, what's happened to daddy? I can see the tears run down his cheeks. Put his arms around mother and the little kiddies. Pick him up and said, now wait a minute. I'm going to tell you what's happened to daddy. Daddy, come in contact with Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. That's what's the matter. Daddy found Jesus. As it did for Legion that day, it'll do for daddy and mother both today. When you find Jesus, you'll never be the same. Legion could never be the same. No man can ever be the same after once finding Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had him a preacher down there in that city, didn't he? A man that was a living gospel. The Word made manifest. You couldn't get a better preacher to set him on fire in that city and let him tell what Jesus had done. Let's stand together. Oh, blessed Lord. He got his wife back. He got his children back. Got his home back. And he got his name back. I'm not sure what his name was before he started being called Legion. But after Legion left, it's time for a name change, ain't it? Praise God. Maybe you find yourself down an old alley with a bunch of tin cans and a bunch of garbage around your life. Why don't you let Jesus bring you into your presence, into His presence. Well, let me ask you something. If coming to Jesus clothes you and puts you in your right mind, then I wonder what's happening to folks and they're leaving the Word and taking off their clothes. Instead of putting on more, they're taking off more. Does that mean their mind's slipping and they're leaving Jesus? This is the exact opposite of Scripture. There's something going on somewhere.
Right? Lord, children, may God help us. If you could only look in this building tonight and see hanging near us. Do you understand? Brother Branham said that demon spirits followed his meetings. When Brother Branham would leave one meeting, they would travel and go to another. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't need them. They traveled by dimensional travel. So he'd go from Zion, Illinois, and say, go over to Chicago, go to Milwaukee, wherever it was he was going. And them demons would be there at that next meeting. People that got set free of cancer and TB and all that, those demons were mad and upset. And they knew church was some of the best places to look for new temples. So them demons would be cast out by hundreds or thousands, say, over here in this city, and they'd follow him to the next city. What are they going for? Waiting for people, church people, that'll come in. They'll have a little bit of doubt. A little bit of question. That man's a fortune teller. That man's guessing. That man's reading people's minds. And that thought in their mind would open them up for demon possession. Can you imagine all of these people on websites and forums and all this stuff as they're reading all this garbage against the prophet of God and against the message, and the demons that are gathering around these websites and gathering in that supernatural realm waiting for people to open up, and all of a sudden, wow, man, I've never seen this before. I always knew there's something different about this mess, something wrong. And all of a sudden they take on a change. They take on a difference in their attitude, a difference in their approach. Then lying is no longer wrong. Deceiving is no longer wrong. This is no longer wrong. And yet they're more religious than they've ever been in their life. Don't you understand? It's demons waiting right there. It's not just a bunch of sites connected together. It's demons waiting right there. That's why I've warned you. Be careful reading that trash. You'll open yourself up to a spirit you can't get rid of. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if demons can do that, if demons can gather around, then I wonder how many angels is right in this building right here tonight. I wonder how many angels gathers all over the world where the saints of God are gathered together in meetings. I'm so glad they don't just gather on church night. But they encamp about those that fear him. Yes, don't you want to be the kind of person that angels feel real comfortable being around? Yes, Brother Bam said, you want to have a home that angels visit? Talk about Elizabeth and Zacharias. Have that kind of home. Have a godly home. A home where the angels of God can be welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now don't get scared, children. I know we talk about these things that tends to make people nervous and scared. Don't get scared. The Lord's in control. Hallelujah. Let's just pray together as we bow our heads. I wonder how many has a need tonight in your life, whether in your body, in your spirit, in your soul. Hallelujah. Whether it's peace or a financial move for you and your family. Maybe you're not demon possessed so much, but maybe a spirit of infirmity for this woman. It was something that afflicted her. It was not a disease necessarily, but it was an infirmity. An infirmity, something that afflicted her. This was an affliction, not a disease now. It was not caused by disease germs and the dividing of cells and all that, multiplication of a tumor or growth, but it was something moving on her body that was affecting her body. Jesus covered every bit of that by his stripes. Just hold your request in your heart now. Heavenly Father, on our own, we would by no means ever be able to approach your great throne of grace. But Lord Jesus, we believe the price has been paid. We're so thankful that you nailed our sins to the cross. But not only did you nail our sins, but you nailed the law. Every bit of it was tacked to the cross. And we know in the Old Testament they have found in ancient digs and archaeological finds that whenever they would have a document or a debt, whenever that debt was paid, they would take that sheepskin or that parchment to a public place and they would drive a nail through that document, which meant the debt had been paid. Glory. So you were willing to be the document made flesh. And the document was hung on a tree. And nails were drove through the document, showing that God accepted full payment for our sins. Praise be to God. Then, Lord, we, like the maniac from Gadara, we're called crazy. We're called nuts. We're called everything imaginable. Because we still believe you're alive. We're still shouting glory and hallelujah. But let them say what they want to say. Because we who had demons in us, we who were blind, wretched, miserable, and naked, tonight we can say we've got our home back. We've got our life back, our children back, our sanity back, our clothes back, our name back. We had no honor, no reputation when we was out there in the world. People didn't want to be around us, but we've got a character now. We've got a reputation as a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for becoming my document and being nailed in a public place to show that my debt was paid. Lord Jesus, I pray for your children tonight. Father, right now, children with sincerity now, just keep your children near you. Everybody, please, with your head bowed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the needs of your children now. Not only those present, but those that's streaming and those at archive. I pray in Jesus' name, may the Spirit of God, may you minister to the needs of your children. Some, Lord, may be under the influence of spirits. They talk to them, they affect them. Some may be under spirits of infirmity. It's not actually disease or multiplication of cells or growths, but it's a spirit of infirmity. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Satan, take your hand off of God's people. Some, Lord, that fight oppression. Some, Lord, with maybe addiction. Addiction to pornography or addiction to pain medication or addiction to Facebook. Addiction to all kinds of things. In the name of Jesus, may the angel of the Lord move in the camp tonight. Lord God, may the presence of God, may the angel of the Lord, hallelujah, who moved among the children of Israel when the token was on display. May the angel of God move among us tonight, Lord. You see, our needs, they're many. But Father, we bring them to our God. I cannot imagine since the fall of man, since the beginning, how many billions of requests that you have heard and answered. I cannot imagine how many billions of people you have healed, how many billions you have saved, how many billions you have delivered. And you can do it over and over and over and over, billions and trillions and billions, and how many more that there'd be, because your power is unending. Hallelujah! Lord God, we accept tonight, Father, that which you have paid for us. Glory to God. After that document was nailed in a public place, then the canceled document could go back to the lien holder, or he would in turn give it to the one who owed the debt. He could stick it in his pocket, and if that debt was brought up again, he could pull out that document and say, my debt is paid. Lord God, it ain't no wonder the prophet said, with that token in our lives, hallelujah, with that token in our lives, we present it with our prayers. We come tonight, Lord Jesus, with that token in our lives, and we command the evil of Satan to back away from the people of God. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in your presence tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. There's no one greater than Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If he would come across a stormy lake for one poor naked man, do you think Jesus would have time to stop by Happy Valley tonight? Amen. To move for you? To heal you of a disease, an affliction, an infirmity? To lift a burden of oppression? Mental darkness that's trying to follow you around? And oh my, rob you of your joy. Oh glory. You believe Jesus is right here among us tonight? Hallelujah. Sing it for us, Harry. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up.
Lord Jesus.
No peace within.
My God.
Chains could not hold me. So lonely, so shackled with sin. Then at noonday, on the other side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through. No peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations. So shackled with sin. As the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad. There was Messiah sitting on a well, my story of life. There's no one greater. was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains cannot hold me. Confused, so lonely. So shackled with sin. Is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Turn your eyes upon you, Jesus. Look for in His wonderful face.
Like the accounts that we read about in the Bible tonight. Many of us could stand, no doubt. Some of you could say, I was bound with this. I was bound with that. I have this evil living in me and this evil habit and this and that and the other. But I met Jesus too. And Jesus loosed me and set me free. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you, but to me, hearing all the negativity that we hear in this day that we live and lambasting and all that sort of thing, it does me so much good to hear testimonies and people thanking God for what God has done for them. Don't you? I love hearing and seeing our Father move among His people. Praise be to God. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank You tonight for Your Word. I hope it was a help to Your children, Lord. I never study something to try to preach at people. I never try to put something together to try to get at somebody or to try to settle a score from the pulpit. But Lord, You know my heart. I always want to bring something that will help people. And I realize sometimes in order to help them, I've got to make them angry first. People don't always understand that in warfare with demons. As the prophet said, sometimes he'd say something to make people laugh. Then he would make something to make them cry. Say something to make them cry. Then say something to make them angry. Because he's watching for something to break. But Lord, I pray that You would help us. Dear Jesus, living in this world is under this onslaught of demon spirits. How we're grateful for the presence of God. And the angels of God and the Holy Spirit that is in our lives. Keep us, Lord, in this day we live in. Grant it, I pray, dear God. I believe You, Father, that we're going to hear more testimonies. As one brother walked up to the altar and said here tonight, he had a testimony to share. Lord, that he'd been suffering with something for several years. And when prayer was made a few moments ago for the congregation, it left him right then. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same Jesus that took that boat ride across the lake that night, come this way at Happy Valley, oh glory, on Saturday night to visit with His children. You'd do it just for one, Lord. You proved it. Go with Your children now, I pray, Father. Bring us back again in the morning if it be pleasing to You, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of God? Amen. Brother Rex, God bless you, buddy. I heard about your brother's passing. I'm sure sorry to hear that. I know your name is really close. May God strengthen you while you're going through this loss. Amen. We love Him. Love one another. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Turn your eyes on Jesus. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. Turn your